Welcome to the Jay Porks Podcast. Coming to you straight out of Staten Island, New York. Bringing you a weekly episode with the finest music news, server problems, and whatever else is going on in Jay's life. Thank you so much for listening. Without further ado, here's Jay.
I don't get the joke. Temporary layoff, good times, easy credit ripple, good times, scratching and surviving, good times. None of these are good things. It's like sodomy is coming, good time. No, it's not. It's not at all. I'm not one of these guys who's blaming the world for where I'm at. I'm at where I'm at because I made bad decisions. But on top of those bad decisions, God's looping up my ass. There's not a thing I know how to do. All I know how to do is take videos at concerts. It's really all I know how to do. And write some words and do a podcast. I don't know how to do anything else. This idea that Pearl Jam are the heroes of the Seattle movement is absolute lunacy. It's insanity. And the no smoking policies kill me. No one wants to smoke in the venue, don't worry. But if the show is going to be 3 hours long, you better stamp my fucking hand and give me and show me where the door is to go out and smoke a cigarette. I paid $60 for a seat so I can retrieve the seats when I come back in from smoking a cigarette.
I always talk about weed. Force headline on you. I am not going to hit you. Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to force things. I will never force headline on you. I am not going to hit you with a weird festival in, you know, Florida with one band I've heard of and a bunch of EDM artists on it. I'm not going to read that to you. It doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do me any.
So the lady goes, "Stop complaining. At least you're not dead."
Staten Island is a racist place. Just because you may not be a racist doesn't mean you can write an article saying, "Why are we known as racist? That's so wrong. It shouldn't be like that." Well, everybody's a racist. Spend your day clipping coupons. Go to the supermarket. Buy food. And prepare it at home. I know that's a wild and crazy idea.
You can't... Don't you dare! Spin Magazine, you do some dumb things. But I gotta tell you, you spent 7 weeks hyping the Ryan Adams covering Taylor Swift album, and then you panned it? Are you good?
Hey, yo. What is the word, people? Welcome to another action-packed edition of the Jay Porks Podcast. I'm Jay Porks, with me as always on the other side of the glass, making sure this is a well-oiled, fine-tuned podcast machine. Every week is the ever-popular Nobody. We got a morning record going on. I'm coming to you the morning of Super Bowl Sunday. And I'm not making any predictions because I really don't care. Let me know when the Jets are in it. Which will never happen if you go back to podcast titled Same Old Jets. All right. Now, you know, in the first minute or two, I don't know how long the intro goes. I know how long it goes, but I don't remember off the top of my head. In one of the many sound bites that are clipped up in there, there's a short one. But it's probably the most important one. The one where I talk about weed a lot. You know, I talk about weed a lot. That's what I say. And, you know, I've dabbled over the past couple of weeks of, you know, I always mention pot. But this, I'm leading with marijuana today. So if you're somebody who's ignorant and doesn't think that pot has any place being legal in the world, then this is not for you, because people like that don't like to hear facts. People like that only like to hear fiction like marijuana is a gateway drug, and fiction like marijuana makes you lazy and unmotivated, which is not actually true. You know what makes you lazy and unmotivated? Hearing Republicans speak. Hearing Republicans tell you what their views on life, that makes me unmotivated, and that makes me not want to contribute to a society that they're in charge of. But we'll feel a little more of the burn later on as I'll play some more audio related to Bernie Sanders. But first, I'm going to open up an article. Now, this article, it's not from, like, High Times. This isn't from Leafly. This isn't from, like, Stoner Express. It didn't come from any of those sites. Didn't come from Bud Aficionado. Nothing like that. This came from a little website known as the New York Times. You know the New York Times. The Record? The actual record of things? Like, if you go to the library in not in 50 years, but if you go to the library now and you want to know what happened on this day in 1976 and you go to the records, what's the record? The New York Times. So, the official tissue. Legal marijuana sales hit $5.4 billion in 2015, report says. That's $5.4 billion with a B. And that's in 2015, the year that just ended a month ago. It's not just heat lamps in the closets and nickel bags anymore. Marijuana is getting some respect as legal sales take off. This week, two marijuana analysis and investment firms released a summary of a report that it appeared to confirm that the industry has become a gold rush. National legal sales of cannabis grew to $5.4 billion in 2015, up from $4.6 billion in 2014. According to firms, the ArcView Group, based in San Francisco, and the New Frontier, based in Washington. Demand is expected to remain strong this year, with a forecast of $6.7 billion in legal sales. Stop right there for 1 second. 2014 saw 4.6. 2015 sees 5.4. If 2016 is going to see 6.7, those numbers are only going up. Up, up, up. Okay. Continuing on. The promise and headwinds of the industry are potentially far-reaching and attracting notice on Wall Street. As more states legalize sales, analysts are weighting the stock. As more states legalize marijuana sales, analysts are weighing the stock market benefits of a new business as cannabis goes corporate. Funds are considering the ethics of investing in marijuana. Parents are even debating whether to allow their children to buy the stocks. Oh, pause that for a second. So parents are going to let their kids buy stock in pot, but they're not going to let their kids live in a world where they can make a decision to go into a store and buy pot on their own. Continuing on. And say goodbye to the common resealable bags and heat lamps in the closet. Lucrative legal side businesses are spinning off, like the climate systems for growers built by a company in Boulder, Colorado, and the Funk Sack odor-proof, child-resistant marijuana bags produced in Denver. I've actually seen those. They work. Non-medicinal adult use accounted for, this is a staggering number, $998 million of the total sales in 2015. Up from $351 million in 2014. That's a rise of over $600 million in 1 year in legal weed sales that were taxed by the U.S. government. The report summary said that by 2020, legal market sales were forecast to be, let me sit down, $21.8 billion. That makes your Powerball seem like a fucking booger, doesn't it? $21.8 billion. So for a country that cries about money, 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 we need money, we're running out of money. There's your money. Pot. Speaking of the study, well, now I moved from New York Times to Fortune, you know, of Fortune 500, the money people. And they have an article titled, "It's Time to Take America's Legal Marijuana Market Seriously." As voters in more states embrace legalized marijuana sales, the burgeoning cannabis industry has gone from curiosity to a bona fide booming market. Just how big is the market for legal pot? A new report by the leading marijuana industry investment and research firm found legal cannabis sales jumped 17% to the aforementioned $5.4 billion in 2015, and they will grow a whopping 25% this year, reaching $6.7 billion. The numbers? Staggering. Considered the first recreational dispensaries opened for business in Colorado only two years ago. And I was there to experience it, by the way. On Monday, ArcView Market Research will release its fourth edition of the State of Legal Marijuana Markets Report, and it will include the prediction that the legal cannabis market will see a whopping $21.8 billion in total sales by 2020. Now, think about that number for a second. $21.8 billion. Now, you're probably thinking, well, Jay, we don't really have anything to compare that to. Okay, I'm glad you wanted something to compare it to, because I'm going to give that to you. The National Football League, the NFL, where they, you know, they own Sunday, they own a day of the week. Like that movie Concussion, I saw in the commercial, one of the quotes, the guy says, "The NFL owns Sunday, a day that used to be owned by God. They own it now." Anyway, the NFL brought in $12 billion last year. $12 billion. And they're aiming to reach $25 billion by 2027. So what you're telling me is that the biggest sport in America, I know baseball's America's pastime, but the Super Bowl, football, that's all big money. Super Bowl ads, you know, 50,000 people in a stadium. That the NFL is American. That's where it's at, America-wise. Every Sunday, everyone's got a team, you know. But, so you're telling me that by 2020, the National Football League and legal marijuana are going to bring in the same amount of money? Don't you find that figure staggering? Considering that there's ads and commercials, football takes in money from advertisers. $21.8 billion in legal tax sales is just coming in from people that smoke weed. People that want to buy their plant. People that are sick and tired of being criminalized and demonized and ostracized for enjoying the fruits of the earth that was left here by God. By God. I'm sorry. I'm on Staten Island and it's Republicanville and everyone's very, you know, they keep their Bibles on their chest. Well, not like my friends, but like, I've been at work the last 2 days, and, oh boy, on Saturday night, a table came in and asked me if I can put on the debate. are you fucking serious? I wanted to go over there and say Bernie's not in this one. You know, being a dick because they wanted to put on the GOP. They're like, yeah, when you get old, you got to watch the debate. I don't know why you guys are voting for the Democratic guy, for the Republican guy. That's what Republicans do. They don't listen. They vote for the Republican guy, no matter who it is. Like, somebody can say that they're a diehard Trump supporter right now. But you know what? If Marco Rubio wins the fucking nomination, they're going to vote for Marco Rubio. They're not voting for Hillary Clinton or fucking Bernie Sanders. They're not voting for a Jew, and they're not voting for a chick. That's it. The reason why I brought up the table wanting the debate is because all of this hypothesizing of the legal marijuana industry and how good it's going to be for our economy. At any point in time, people could elect a Republican who can just wheel all this back, just destroy all this. It can easily happen. And America might let it happen. So that's why you people need to not watch debates, not watch the news, and when election time comes around, just vote for the Democrat. Doesn't matter if it's the one you like, because as a very, 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 very smart friend of mine told me, if you can't get the fish, eat the chicken. If you can't get the fish, eat the chicken. I feel the burn. But Hillary's a politician. And she's a way better politician than anybody the fucking the Republicans are offering up. Okay. Speaking of weed, still continuing on weed for a second. In 2015, Americans spent more on legal pot than they spent on Cheetos and Funyuns combined last year. See, Cheetos and Funyuns, these are companies that have been legal for a long, long time. Their products have always been in supermarkets, delis, corner stores, bodegas, all that stuff. Your local Duane Reade, your local Costco, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS. You know, CVS will sell this, but they won't sell cigarettes because they're the moral standard. So Americans spent more on legal weed than they did on Cheetos and Funyuns last year. This is coming out of the Washington Post. And they're leading with the Americans spent $5.4 billion on legal marijuana and recreational marijuana last year. According to new estimates, two marijuana industry market research groups. The total includes over $1 billion in medical marijuana sales. Wow. In California, nearly $1 billion in legal marijuana... No, in California. Nearly $1 billion in legal marijuana sales in Colorado. And more than $500 million in sales in Washington State. And that's only because people aren't running to Washington State just yet. But they will be once they find out how cool of a town they got all that weed shit set up in. Because, you know, as you know, as everybody knows, if you're on the Dear Network, you know that we're Nirvana fans here, okay? We're huge Nirvana fans. And if you're a huge Nirvana fan, you've seen every Kurt Cobain documentary. Every single one. The childhood ones, the adult ones, the band ones, the ones that focus on his teenage years, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, if you watch them, what you know is that Aberdeen and towns in Washington that are like, there are towns in Washington that are depleted because they used to be logging towns, but now the logging industry isn't what it used to be, so now these towns are just wasting away. So they have all this open space and nothing to do. So what they have is they have people who open up like grow shops, greenhouses and stuff, and they're out there buying up property. excuse me, they're out there buying up property. They're buying up property, and they're doing it big. It's a little town. I saw it on, what was that? It was, one of these shows on the History Channel about weed. The Marijuana Revolution, that's what it was. I love those shows where they show a, where they show like a picture of a map and they're like, these states have medical pot. And they show that, the they highlight New York. Uh-uh, I don't think so, buddy. There is no doctor in New York that will dare write a prescription for legal pot. And if that happens, show me that person. Show me that person who's not going to die next week. I get it. If you're going to die next week, they'll write you the prescription. And it's not smokable pot. It's oils. What does that mean? That means the little vape pen. I don't want to do that. I want to smoke plants because that's how God left them here for me. I'm pretty sure I just want to do what God wanted me to do. God had intentions when he planted these seeds. So last year, the $5.4 billion in legal marijuana, Doritos, Cheetos, and Funyuns combined brought in $4.9 billion. I love Doritos. I don't eat them anymore because I'm in good shape now, but I love fucking Doritos. Cheetos, I always had to wear like a rubber glove to eat Cheetos. To put that $5.4 billion number in perspective, that's more money than Americans spent on Doritos, Cheetos, Funyuns combined in 2015. With $5.4, you can legal for $5.4 billion, you can legally get you can. They got a link in the middle of this paragraph, so it's fucking up my reading. With $5.4 billion, you can get America legally stoned for a year, or you could have used the money to send the New Horizon probe to Pluto, the Curiosity rover to Mars, and had even enough money left over to purchase the entire output of the Cheesecake Factory for a year. Why would anybody want to buy that much cheesecake? Weed is way healthier than cheesecake. No, but I get what they're saying. With $5.4 billion, you could have you could have done things in space, which means that it's a serious amount of money, and people need to start considering what this can do for our country. If you want this country to keep continuing and being what you call the greatest land of all, then we need to increase our funds. And by doing that, you can only raise taxes so much. You need to find other ways of finding money. You need to find new and creative ways. Now, you know, I'm sure building a wall to separate us from Mexico, I'm sure that would create about 40 or 50 jobs for about 40 or 50 days until the wall's up. Then those people aren't going to have jobs. Whereas if you legalized pot, if you legalized recreational marijuana, taxed and all that, available in stores that were opened up just like liquor stores, if you had that, then you have new revenue that we can include into this country's bottom line that we never had to include before, that we never had the opportunity to include. Furthermore, it takes that money away from drug dealers. Don't you get, it's not like this $5.4 billion, if it's not sold in legal weed, then it goes away. If it's not sold in legal weed, it goes on the streets. It's sold by drug dealers on the corners in your neighborhoods, you know? This is where this is going. Don't you want to take it off the black market? You put something on the black market, that's what makes it a gateway drug. It's not a gateway drug because when I smoke pot, I want to go out and do other drugs. It's a gateway drug because, you know, sometimes, and this is just sometimes your weed guy is driving you home and he asks you for a piece of rolling paper and you look at the weed and you're like, what is that? That looks black. He's like, nah, it's not weed. It's angel dust. Huh? And sometimes that happens, and sometimes if that person isn't named Jay Parks, they might say, let me try that. If that person is named Jay Parks, they might buckle their seatbelt and fear for their life and hope that they're making it home tomorrow and wonder, what the fuck are you doing smoking dust, bro? It smells like a magic marker. Hypothetically. This is hypothetical. If that was the case, what I'm saying is, if I walked in, if that person walked into a store to buy marijuana, they wouldn't have to deal with people around them who were breaking the law other ways, selling other drugs. Because weed is weed is weed. And if you could only get that in the store, if that's all they got, if they got weed, if they got wax and all that stuff and all that weed stuff, edibles, then they're not going to be hanging out with their corner boy drug dealer friend who pulls out a dime and then some pills pop out of his pocket. And he says, oh, what's those? Oh, these are Vicodin. You want to take them? No, I don't. You sure? They make you feel good. All right, cool. I'll take one. Next thing you know, kid's driving a car around in the snow getting heroin on Nat Geo. It's a slippery fucking slope. And you got to keep in mind, continuing reading this Washington Post article, keep in mind that $5.4 billion only represents legal marijuana sales. Illegal sales still account for considerably more than that. Again. So there's a... I'm sorry. I can't keep it together. I'm like, I keep doing a face palm. I keep doing live face palms. And I've read this article already. So that means not only there's $5.4 billion that have been brought in through legal marijuana sales, there's also $5.4 billion on the streets in the hands of illegal law-breaking citizens who sell drugs to random folk. That's another thing about stores, is that it's 18 or 21, depending on what the state votes on. That's perfect. Because the whole thing about weed is the youth. Well, we're not going to be giving it to the youth because you got to be 18. Well, Jay, kids smoke cigarettes. Kids who aren't 18 smoke cigarettes. Yeah, but the numbers are declining. Go check the facts. Go check the Gallup polls. Less teenagers are smoking cigarettes these days. Wonder why? Because teenagers are smarter these days, and they realize that cigarettes don't do anything for you, and it's the biggest waste of life in the history of... It's a bigger waste of life than being a Jets fan. Does absolutely nothing for you. And I'm a cigarette smoker, and I'll tell you, I'll be the first to tell you that I am the stupidest motherfucker in the world every time I light up a cigarette. That is ridiculous. There is no reason, no rhyme or reason. It doesn't get me high. I haven't had sex. You know what I'm saying? I can understand after sex you light up a bogey, but I mean, I don't... I'm not a fucking, gigolo, you know? I don't have enough fucking... I don't get laid that much. Illegal sales still account for more than $5.4 billion, considerably more, although it's hard to know just how much. In 2012, drug policy experts, whose names I can't pronounce, estimated the total market value of legal and illegal marijuana sales to be in the $15 billion to $30 billion range. That's in 2012. So those people that wanted to watch the debate, they don't want to save the country. The reason why anybody who wants to turn on the GOP debate doesn't want our country to have to gain $30 billion. They don't want that. They want to complain about, you know, what's happening. How about this? You know how rich people don't want their money taxed because they don't want, like, people on welfare and stuff because they think welfare is lazy? When really, in actuality, welfare is a program that was instituted because it was needed. The country doesn't institute programs that aren't needed unless they're fucking... pins and shit. Tap. But, like, if you're somebody just like that table that turns on the GOP, the Republican debate, you don't want $30 billion in to be given to America. You don't want that. You'd rather have your taxes raised and politicians don't do what they said they were going to do with the money. That's who you'd rather have. You'd rather have politicians serve the interest groups that best fit their pockets, that help them get elected, that feed their machine. It's just, it's sad. So, like, the social programs like welfare and Social Security and disability and food stamps and stuff that rich people don't want to come out of their tax dollars, I have an idea. How about you have the legal marijuana industry fund those programs? Does that not make sense to anybody? Doesn't that seem like a fair thing? You can have legal pot and you could take that tax money and you could put it into things like welfare and Social Security and food stamps and, you know, stuff that helps people who need it. And then it wouldn't come out of your tax dollars. I'm sure they'll find a loophole to that too. I mean, do people even, do you get it? Isn't it time that we stood forward and took a step forward instead of three steps back? Why are we living in a 1970 Nixon agenda fucking pot land here? Four states have legal pot. I'm jealous of those four states. New York, we're miles and miles away from that. And I don't mean literally. I mean, like, the thought process of even getting that, of even getting legal pot, is years, light years away from even happening. I could be honest, I'll make a prediction right now. February 9th, or 8th, whenever this goes up, I'm gonna move from New York before pot is legal in New York. I'm gonna have to move. There's nothing I could do. This isn't just something. I just can't deal with this anymore. ARK viewers is encouraging viewers to jump in, investors to jump in. Legalization of cannabis is one of the greatest business opportunities of our time, and it's still early enough to see huge growth. So there's that. You heard it from the New York Times. Heard it from Fortune. You heard it from the Washington Post. Courtesy of Jay Porks. We will get to the headlines when we come back after this.
Socialism seems like a scary word, but a recent poll shows a majority of millennials don't even know what it means. So why is presidential candidate and time traveler Doc Brown advocating for something the older generation fears and the younger generation doesn't know anything about? Because he's not. He's using the term democratic socialism, which means something else entirely. What's the difference? Let's explore in this episode of Longform. Whether you agree with Bernie Sanders' political views or not, it's important for Americans to understand the difference between traditional socialism and democratic socialism. It seems a lot of people are just hearing the socialism part of the phrase and immediately prepping their underground bunkers. So let's first break down what socialism is. First off, it's not communism, and this is what a lot of people equate it with. Communism is an extreme form of socialism, just like fascism and monarchism are extreme forms of conservatism. I know. Lots of words, but the point is, there are extreme parts of any political party, and socialism does not automatically equal communism. What it does equal is the idea that people should run a country, and not big businesses, banks, and corporations. It also says that the society should be a place where all people work as equals in cooperation for the common good. More extreme versions of socialism advocate that free markets and money should not exist, that people should be working for the good of the men and women in their community. Now, despite what Fox News and the Conservative Party might have you believe, this is not what democratic socialism is. Democratic socialism is socialism through the ballot box that says changes in the government and society should be through fair elections. Democratic socialism also says that the basic foundations of a society should be provided for through the government so that the people of that state can have a happy, healthy life. It does not do away with free markets, private businesses, or your freedom. Unsurprisingly, it's already playing a huge part in our country, and you may not even realize it. Some of the most obvious are things like Medicare and Social Security, but people don't realize that the reason we have a military, national parks, prisons and the whole justice system, public transportation, disposal of your toilet waste, garbage collection, firefighters, police officers, and even the roads you drive on are because of democratic socialism. And the Republican Party, who has recently been calling out Bernie Sanders' ideas as un-American, perhaps don't realize that the thing they love most right now, border protection, is also a democratic socialist program. The most impactful of these programs, I would argue, is that democratic socialism is the reason why every single child in this country has the right to get an education through high school and not pay a dime. But let's look at the flip side really quick. These programs do take money, and because the government would have to pay for them, it would have to increase taxes in some way. In countries successfully implementing the programs Bernie Sanders is advocating for, like universal health care and free public college tuition, taxes are higher, especially on the upper class. But because of these taxes, they don't have to pay for things like going to the hospital or getting an education. They don't have premiums or student debt. They have a more equal distribution of wealth and generally a higher standard of living. So it's time we get rid of the stigma around socialism and look at the actual individual policies being proposed. Do we agree with them? If you don't, that's okay, but at least you know what you're voting against come election time, and not just advocating blindly against a phrase you might not understand.
Hey everybody, it's Andy from The Andy Dare Show, just thanking you so much for checking out the Jay Porks podcast. If you want to find out more about Jay and what he's up to, you can follow him on Twitter at Jay Porks, on Instagram at Jay Porks, and on Facebook at Jay Porks. There's a running theme here. It's Jay Porks all day for 2016. And for his official website, full of podcasts and complete show notes, check out jayporks.com. If you want to check out more about Dare Network, just find us at iTunes. Search Andy Dare Show and we'll come right up. The Dare Network is now home to the Jay Porks podcast, The Andy Dare Show, Spin Class with Tyler and Andy, and also Jesse Unplugged. We want to thank everybody who subscribes and tells a friend. Thank you so much for listening, and now, back to the Jay Porks Podcast.
And we are back. I played you a little, that was a breakdown of democratic socialism before I went to break. That is a video that a lot of people need to listen to, it's a video, but I got the audio and I played it for you because it was needed. People will see the title of that and they won't click on it, so I just slipped it in there so you guys can understand. So anybody listening who thinks that Bernie Sanders is a communist socialist who wants to destroy the country, you people don't actually know what is going on. See, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's taking so long for people to realize that Bernie Sanders is FDR. You know what I'm saying? He wants to implement programs. Programs that will be paid for with tax dollars coming in from legal marijuana and not out of your pocket. But whatever. So, until people understand that democratic socialism is not a bad word, or until Hillary just has Bernie Sanders be her vice president and they walk to the White House from now. Just going to keep trying to jab you guys with this stuff. Anyway, every week the headlines are powered by Anti-Quiet. Powered be the key word. An oldie but goodie. There's an outtake available from One Hot Minute, from the Red Hot Chili Peppers' One Hot Minute album with Dave Navarro, which actually I thought I was alone in thinking that that is a really cool record. Annie Quiet agrees. Annie Quiet says, outtake from Red Hot Chili Peppers' Dave Navarro era leaks. The Red Hot Chili Peppers are pretty easy to make fun of these days. I can't believe that's the first sentence, because all I do is make fun of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Their artistic stock has been declining a bit by bit since 1999 or so, but today, with the leak of an old outtake called Circle of the Noose, there's an excuse to revisit what I blasphemously argue was their best album, or at least their very coolest, 1995's One Hot Minute. Squirrel, I am on your team. That was one of the soundtracks to my 95, was One Hot Minute. Freaked out by the success of Blood Sugar Sex Magik, John Frusciante left the band, with no interest in being a rock star, despite the otherwise role-appropriate drug habit he had developed. Meanwhile, Jane's Addiction had just split, so Dave Navarro eventually wound up in a band after a brief series of interesting stand-ins, including Eric Marshall, Xander Schloss, and Buckethead. Buckethead was in the Red Hot Chili Peppers? That's news to me, and that's pretty cool. Did he ever take the bucket off his head? Navarro had his own drug issues, though, and Kiedis had fallen off the wagon again. So, for better or worse, One Hot Minute was dark, queer, sad, heavy, compared to the previous release, and especially compared to some of the silly shit the band has been doing since Frusciante returned. It's not to say that Frusciante isn't an amazing guitarist in his own right, but this was, for a moment, a different kind of band. That is correct. I'll always place it in a separate category than all the other Red Hot Chili Peppers releases, and I'd be hard-pressed to compare any of them favorably. All of that said, I get why Circle of the Noose didn't make the cut for One Hot Minute. In a 1997 interview, Navarro called it the greatest pop song he'd ever been a part of. But remember, he was on a lot of drugs. It's kind of a disjointed, rambly mess, especially in the rough demo form. Still, big thanks to Alternative Nation, the original source, at Red Hot Chili Peppers TV5 for bringing this to light and giving us an excuse to rave about the freak occurrence that was One Hot Minute. And Red Hot Chili Peppers are currently finishing up a new record with Josh Klinghoffer on guitar. Also in the headlines, also powered by Annie Quiet, Deftones tease Gore, due out April 8th, and they've shared a new video for a new song, Prayers/Triangles. Deftones' 8th studio album is due out April 8th, and as previously suspected, it is called Gore. The band has been teasing this news here and there, but today we have a full minute, give or take, of a new song called Prayers and Triangles. So here's a decent taste of one of the many albums we're excited about this year. An update, the band has shared a full stream of Prayers Triangles. And here's the track list for Gore, and you could pre-order the album at deftones.com. So there's that. Also, it's a new video for The Dead Weather, Impossible Winner. The Dead Weather are circus freaks, traveling by train behind jail cell bars in this cool new video for Impossible Winner, the last track of last year's Dodge and Burn. This debuted on Tidal yesterday, but no one actually uses that, so here's the YouTube video. Thank you so much for saying that. Tidal. Fuck you and your Tidal. Oh boy. And I actually should have went with this. Before. But Rolling Stone has an article, Flea, Why I Support Bernie Sanders. This is written by Flea in its entirety. Written by Flea. I first learned about Bernie Sanders through a teacher of mine who lived in Vermont. He was telling me that the state, in most categories, has the highest standard of life in the United States in terms of employment, education, healthcare, and all the things you measure a standard of life by. He told me about Bernie and how much he admired him. And so he's been on my radar for a while. When we first started hearing about the Democratic hopefuls, I saw that he was running and I started paying attention. When I heard that he wasn't taking money from any corporations, didn't have any super PACs, and was doing a lot with small donations, I was amazed. The concept of a president in this country who is not beholden to corporate lobbyists is such a beautiful idea. A year ago, nobody really cared about Bernie Sanders or knew who he was. Here's a guy that is not relying on the fear-mongering or super PACs or billions of dollars. He's just talking about issues that really affect us as human beings, like caring about each other and evening the playing field. People try to demonize it, like socialism is the next step to communism. That's just insane silliness. Bernie isn't talking about eliminating the spirit of capitalism in terms of the competitive spirit of people being able to lift themselves up by their bootstraps through discipline and hard work and creatively and ingenuously. He's not trying to eliminate making something great of yourself and being part of the American dream. He's just saying, let's even the playing field so everybody can get a decent education and have an opportunity to get health care and take care of themselves and educate themselves. That's what civilization should be about. Continuing on. The bottom line is that everybody deserves to get a good education. This country is completely capable economically of providing a high-grade education for everybody, regardless of their economic class. And everybody deserves to have a high grade of health care, regardless of their economic class. That's what is going to help reduce crime and poverty. This is what's going to make this country a beautiful, vibrant place. People can still get rich, but it's just giving everybody a chance that everybody deserves. I'm for Bernie Sanders all the way. I believe in him. I believe in what he says. I relate to people who realize that we're all connected, who realize that we have to look out for each other and love each other. That's what Bernie Sanders is about. Beyond economic issues, the thing that drives my interest most about the president, any presidential candidate, is that the least likely to go to war and the least likely to start some bloodthirsty, murderous war campaign in order to keep the military-industrial complex going and make billions of dollars for corporations at the expense of human life. I think Bernie is the least likely to start a cockamamie war. I just don't care that the critics call him unelectable. I think saying he's unelectable is a silly thing. Clearly he's electable. He's a guy who's getting votes and just showed in Iowa that he's neck and neck with Hillary. Consciously electing somebody based on being a human being with integrity who actually speaks for the people of this country and the things that concern them, not fear-mongering, is an amazing concept that's really inspiring, and it gives me a little bit of faith in the political process. The Chili Peppers are doing a benefit show for Bernie this weekend. It happened already. And something like $30,000, and it's like $30,000, something like $30,000 to rent the venue. We said, oh, we'll pay for the cost of the venue rental. And he wouldn't accept it. He said, we can't accept you guys. You're a group. You're incorporated. So I can't accept that money. He can accept the ticket cost because each one is a small donation. But the 30 grand? No, I don't accept money like that. If he's elected, I hope that a Sanders presidency would make it so, one, he wouldn't go off into any wars unless it was really was to protect other human beings. Two, he would make a high-quality health care accessible to everybody, regardless of how much money they have. And three, he would make higher education available for everybody. And that means everybody. That means people who live in very poor communities and are struggling who deserve as good of an education as people in rich communities. The playing field is rigged, and if you're poor and a minority, you don't have a chance, man, or your chance is like a needle in a haystack. I want everybody to have an equal chance. The concept of politics itself is of absolutely no interest to me. The concept of human beings caring for one another holds great interest to me. I care about the welfare of people. I care about love and kindness and empathy and reaching out to those who are less fortunate and struggling to get by in a really difficult world. The candidate who actually represents the well-being of human beings in the United States and cares about people is Bernie Sanders, and that's why I stand by him. Flee. Boom, boom, boom. As told by Jason Newman. I couldn't agree with you more, Flea. Flea, you know, Flea and Slash went to the same high school. True story. I didn't mean to turn this into a campaign for Bernie Sanders today. I knew I was going to play the democratic socialism breakdown. But then once I saw Flea, why I support Bernie Sanders, I had to check it out. And I did not. I'll move to Vermont. They got a higher state of. They got a higher quality of life in Vermont. I'll just move there if they don't like Bernie Sanders. I don't really care. This is not a world I want to live in. Human beings. You see that? It's not about, like, what we're going to tax. It's about treating people with the respect they deserve, giving everybody an equal playing field to get an education. Now, with my new microphone, my podcast sounds a little better. If I had an education, do you understand how good my podcast would sound? From the studios of, like, Sirius Radio, where I would have a job because I would know I would be educated? But no. Since I owe $2,000 to school, I'm not allowed to continue my education. And that's just a damn shame. And school doesn't care about me. And the loan, the bank that has the loan, they don't care about me. Bernie Sanders cares about me. And he doesn't even know who I am. So, if you needed any other reason. So that's your headlines this week. I'm not doing the Meek Mill Drake that they started up again. As Annie Quiet tweeted, and this is why I love Annie Quiet, because they tweet things like this. I'm going to find it right now. No, I just got a really bad headache. People, folks. And before I move on, burn your enthusiasm. That's all I'm going to say. Google it. Check it out. It's phenomenal. Larry David hosted Saturday Night Live, and he played Bernie Sanders, and Bernie Sanders made a guest appearance. Annie Quiet tweeted the other day, February 5th, "All right, blogs, Drake and Meek Mill beef is back on, so you have to write another piece about it now. You've set a precedent. Slopes be slippery." 100% right. Every website, every blog, every website that jumped on Drake Meek Mill needs to jump back on it because they did set a precedent. They started talking about it. Oh, what? It's only interesting during the times where people aren't clicking things? Is that why? Slopes be slippery. All right, speaking of the slopes, I'm going to slide on out of here. But before I do, I'm going to give you the list of websites you need to go to help keep me in business. First of all, there is ConcertConfessions.com. That's where you'll get all your live music, news, and reviews. For the fans, by the fans. Up now, we got Niall at the Whiskey A Go Go. This is, if you had to choose between seeing Niall at the Whiskey A Go Go or wondering if the groundhog is going to come out and see a shadow, I think Niall wins. Also go to ChristinaRocks.com, hang the DJ, 89xradio.com every Sunday morning. Actually, as I'm recording this, it's happening right now. So when I'm done with this, I am going to catch the last hour of Christina. The last 2 hours of Christina. The sultry tones. ChristinaRocks.com. And you can listen to her on 89xradio.com every Sunday morning. Get at her at Christina Rocks. Tweet at her. Tell her she's the coolest cucumber in the salad, according to Jay Porks. Also, AndyDurer.com. That's Durer Network headquarters. That's where you'll get all your Durer Network related programming. Whether that's the Tyler Kale Show, whether that's Spin Class with Tyler and Andy, whether that's Jesse Unplugged, whether that's the flagship show, The Andy Deer Show, or the smooth, sultry tones of the Jay Porks podcast, you can get it at AndyDeer.com. That's AndyDeer.com. And of course, what can I say? Every week, the headlines. Them headlines, they be powered by Annie Quiet. Till next week, folks. Whiskey Weed and Warren Zevon. And get well, Bret Hart. He's not putting cancer over, especially in Canada. Late.
This has been the Jay Porks Experience. Thank you so much for listening.